You're listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 103. Welcome to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 103. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Ruck Off podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have an interview with Mark Jones and Mike Durkin, who you might recall recently finished GORUCK Team Assessment Class 000. Not only did they finish the event, they were the first to finish, which makes them the 2019 Team Assessment Champions. I'm really excited to have them on for this interview. We talk about why they signed up for the event, training up for the event, what they liked, disliked about the event, and get a little bit into their history with these kind of big endurance events. It was a ton of fun talking with them, and if you are even remotely interested in team assessment or those longer endurance events, I am sure you're going to enjoy this interview. Thank you so much for all of the support, and here's the interview with Mark and Mike. Today, I'm talking with Mark Jones and Mike Durkin. I'm really excited to have them on this call. They both recently completed GORUCK Team Assessment. They were the Class 000 champions, or so it's called, and I'm really excited they're taking the time to talk with me. Guys, thank you again. Mike, how are you doing today?
Doing real well, thank you.
And Mark?
Oh, I was just teaching.
Sounds like it. You're on quite the adventure, I believe.
Oh, it's been an adventure since Monday, so yeah. Go, go, go in this life.
So, GORUCK Team Assessment. I watched the interview with you two and Jason, and it sounds like Mark came up with the idea to do this event and decided to call Mike. So Mark, what about this event drew you to it, and why did you want to sign up?
Well, I'm going to let Mike say the dilemma that potential dilemma that he might have had if I didn't call him on the day I called him, but you can ask him that. But this event came out. I really like inaugural events of any sort, just kind of paving the way for others, whether it's good or bad. And, you know, it's a great way to learn lessons. And I just knew right away Mike Durkin was going to be my partner because of endeavors that we've gone through before, and you know his mindset, and he's like the nitty gritty guy that needs to be a teammate to really push me through. So he gladly accepted.
So one of the things that drew you to this event, Mark, was that it was the beta class 000. You mentioned that you like kind of paving the way. So that was one of the factors?
Yeah, I think everybody likes going on the ride first, you know, when it opens. So sitting in the front row. So that's kind of my analogy for it. Like being the first on a new, brand new roller coaster, sitting in front row, you know, for the first time.
You would think that a lot of people would want to be first on the roller coaster to sit in front, but based on the event, only six teams showed up to do that.
Yeah, and, you hate to, like, call people out and know why they did that, because who ultimately knows, right? Things happen, and people will show, and, you know, but it was quite shocking, I think, for all of us who were there, or at least for, us and Team 1, that, you know, because we made predictions. And I think it was like 22 teams were signed up. We thought at least 15 would show up, and then, you know, five would kind of battle it. So, yeah, those numbers are way off.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, Mike, you got the call from Mark about this event. How much information did he tell you about team assessment before you said, I'm in?
We didn't talk for about a week after that. The first message came over Facebook Messenger. He pretty much just told me it was a new GORUCK event. It was 48 hours, and it was going to be similar to selection. And I pretty much said I was in. I was looking for an event to do, and it kind of fit the timeline. It fit the duration that I was looking for. So I just jumped in with both feet.
And it sounds like you've done a couple events in the past that have been an extended duration. When a lot of people look at a 48-hour event, they think, man, that's, you know, the longest thing that I've ever done. But your event history, I guess, you've done a number of events that have been of a substantial length?
Yeah, I like doing like multi-day events, like, you know, days where you, you know, do events and you camp overnight in the mountains and you keep going the next day, like stage type events. I like anything that's anything over 12 hours interests me. So the longer and the heavier, the better.
So then 48 hours and lots of weight, which is what team assessment ended up being. It seems like it was right up your alley.
Yeah. It's, if I could have handpicked what we were doing, that would have pretty much been it. It kind of fit right in my wheelhouse and all the things I enjoy doing.
That's perfect. So did Mark reach out to you pretty close to when the event was announced? Or was it, how much time, I guess, did you have to train up for this?
Oh, so it's my understanding that the, I think the email came out that day. And Mark messaged me that evening because I think the story Mark was alluding to was one of my buddies at the gym. He also got the email. And he asked me the next day at the gym if I wanted to do it, but I had already committed to Mark. So that's the direction I went.
And I just got to say that, I mean, we've never met in person, but that kind of a story, I think, is telling of character because this is a team event, right? And so training together, I would imagine, would be beneficial. And for you to stick it out with Mark, who is states apart from you, instead of, you know, saying, you know, Mark, something else came up and I've got this opportunity to train with someone right next door. I mean, I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, once I committed, there's no way I was backing out.
Plus, he likes me better. I know his gym buddy, so I could say that pretty confidently. So he'll probably send me a message after this comes out and say that's not true. But
I mean, the proof's in the videos, right? It was you two out there. So, Mark, I'm going to start with you on this one. I'm curious about your base level of fitness before you started training up for selection. What kind of shape were you in? What kind of events do you think you could have accomplished with that level of fitness? Like, I'm sure you didn't go couch to team assessment.
Right, no. So, pretty quickly, you know, we've both done a number of events, crazy, you know, multi-day, stage, whatever, throughout the years. But when I asked Mike, I was in a period of transition from obstacle course racing, in which I was doing a lot of the toughest butters and really just going out for, you know, some prize money and just come up the world toughest butter team event and just really kind of dedicated that because, you know, they threw a check out there. Well, those checks went sour and people weren't getting paid and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it just kind of, it drove me in a direction of kind of hating the industry instead of embracing it. Like I was so passionate about when I first started, all because I wasn't getting a paycheck that I earned. So, you know, I kind of like just branched away from that and really was like spending every moment watching selection last year when Doug was going through. And it pumped me up. I got my heart back essentially and my passion for what I wanted to do. It doesn't need to be about check. It doesn't need to be about anything. It's just where does your love go? So anyway, you know, long story short, it was back in I want to say like a couple of days after that, I threw on a 45-pound ruck and I just did a half marathon that I was supposed to pace the marathon for, but they didn't need me, so I threw on a ruck and ran the half just to see what I had, and it was like a little kid jumping in a puddle for the first time all over again. And I was like, I want to ruck this year. So I started training like immediately after that. And then, you know, coincidentally, like that's when I started training for selection, was when selection ended. So I already had a good baseline, but it wasn't a ruck baseline. It was more endurance, OCR baseline. So when that email came up, it was all complimentary. It was, you know, going to be complimentary to what's coming up later that I've been training for, which will be about a year when it does arrive. So I would say my baseline was pretty good, but it wasn't as good as when I started training with Mike and we started bouncing ideas back and forth.
And Mike, same question to you. What was your base, you know, training, your base fitness level like when you started training for team assessment?
The last event I did before I really started focusing on team assessment was a 36-hour triathlon relay with a couple buddies. So I was in very good cardio shape, but the strength endurance wasn't where it needed to be. So I had about a month before like the initial conversation with Mark to where I really started focusing strictly on team assessment to kind of build into it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, quite the transition, right? Because for triathlons, I mean, you want to be as lean and as quick as you can. And for team assessment, I mean, watching the videos, you want to carry as much heavy stuff as you can, as quick as you can.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a change. I think over the about 6 months I spent getting ready for team assessment, I put on about 10 pounds and most of it was in the upper body.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it seems like it did your team well. So you two trained remote for this. You don't live near each other. I believe, if I recall correctly, Mark flew out to Mike's place and trained for a week there. I think, Mike, I think you brought him to your gym for some training. And so I guess we'll start this one on Mark. How was it training apart? Did you guys have any tricks, any tips that, you know, helped you come together? It sounds like you knew each other before this event, but still to get on the same page so that when you showed up at a team assessment, you felt like a team and not like two people just getting ready to do the event.
Yeah, I don't want to say a lot of it was luck, but I think the dynamics we had were through individual personalities and maybe from just experience of events in the past, because team assessment is definitely something that can bring about some ego and alpha personality, especially when they start pushing the competitive race scenario and it's go, go, go instead of, hey, let's think this out, talk it through, communicate well, and, you know, keep a routine. Mike and I, we discussed initially, and I guess just the communication throughout the whole process about, you know, initial discussion of how we're going to train, how we're going to go about business, our weight training, and communicating while we were there, and then having the visual of, okay, this is what you're doing, this is what you've been doing, I can see this, this is where I need to adapt and, you know, work on a little bit more, and then, you know, the final stage, you know, before the event, communicating what we've been doing, you know, we would do our a full PT test on a Saturday and then share data with each other. So as stupid as it sounds, it's like we were training together, we just weren't together.
And I think a lot of that has to do with personality and how close you are. You know, you guys have known each other for, it sounds like, years and years. This wasn't, Facebook looking for someone to do this event. It showed up. The first thing you thought to do, Mark, was send this off to Mike and say, hey, buddy, you want to do this with me? So it sounds like you had a big base there to work off of.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. We've known each other for years, but honestly, we haven't known each other that well. So, like, actually having Mike embrace me with his whole family and spend time with them, and it really, really forced us to connect a lot more. And I'm so lucky to have him as a friend and a teammate throughout that entire, you know, 6 months or whatever it's been since we first started this endeavor. So that definitely helps.
That's awesome. And I'm not sure if I should be asking this or not, but every single video that I've watched with you guys related to team assessment says that you met at a endurance event back in 2013 or so. Can you spill? I mean, this isn't a GoRuck affiliated podcast or anything. Can you spill what that endurance event was that you guys met at?
Yeah, sure. It was an event put on by Joe Decker. It was called the Ultimate Suck. It was a 36-hour endurance event that's kind of a cross between, like, you know, like there's a lot of PT, there's a lot of like Atlas stones and other strongman type stuff, a lot of rucking, a lot of just wading through rivers and stuff like that.
Sounds like quite the event.
Oh, it's a blast.
So on to you, Mike. I mean, you had the opportunity to train with someone at your gym for team assessment, but you know, you ended up going with, which I mean, I think is like the right thing to do. You already committed to Mark for this event. So you're training with him, you're doing this remote. Was there anything that you found super useful or any tips that you had besides having him come out that really helped you solidify your team cohesiveness?
We just being honest with each other. I mean, we're both pretty dedicated people. You know, we don't skip workouts. We both knew that about each other. But, you know, there was no, you know, we would text or, you know, Facebook message a couple times a week. We'd lay out what our workouts were, what our results from the last week were. And there was no, you know, there was no BSing around. It wasn't like, oh, I know Mark's faster than I am. He's a much better runner. He's quicker with light rucks than I am. That's not without question. But I never felt like I had to like fudge my times or anything like that. We were just very open and honest with each other. I'm like, you know, this is what I'm doing. I hope I'm trying to get faster to catch you. You know, I'm probably a little stronger than he is. And I know he was lifting a lot, but, you know, to keep up with me with the hope that, you know, what he was good at wasn't what I was worst at. And then we were just bad at it as a team. So we were trying to balance each other out during the training process. And we were just real honest with each other. And that went a long way, I think.
That's great advice. And that's something, I don't know. I don't know if it was difficult in the past or not, but I feel like in this day and age with, you know, crazy social media, you see people doing the PT test, people doing these workouts, and they have these amazing times, you know, the monthly workouts like Gorek's got. And personally, I'm fast. I can run a fast mile. I can run a fast 5 miles, but I'm not good at push-ups. And so whenever I post my push-ups, I'm always slightly embarrassed. And I can, you know, that split thought like, oh, maybe I should just retest this. But I think, you know, just being open and honest, I think that's crucial in team success. And I think that, you know, showed through with your team's performance. So one of the things that Gorek always harps on with these events is the why. You know, the why are you out there? Why are you doing this? And it's that thing that you're supposed to hold close to yourself and deep. And when everything really sucks at 36 hours in, you know, it's the reason why you don't quit. Looking in, the whys, it's always a tough one because you don't really know until you're there, like how strong it is until you're in that position where you have the ability to quit. And so I was just curious if you guys wouldn't mind sharing your whys, since we were just on you, Mike, if you want to share your why for this event and the thing that, you know, kept you going through it.
Okay, sure. Well, mine was kind of a two-part answer. One of the reasons I wanted to do the event was I enjoy the training. You know, I really do. It sounds a little ridiculous at times, but I do enjoy going to the gym. And when you I believe that when you have an event or you have something you're training for, there's always more intensity there. So I always enjoy that more. But when the going gets tough, you do have to have a why during the event. And, you know, my first why for this event was I would never back out on my teammate. You know, we set out early that we were going to do this together, and I would never put myself in a situation where I would have let my partner down. I mean, you could say that that's ego. You could say that that's a lot of different things, but I never wanted to be the weak link on the team. And I know he felt the same. I would never have put him in a spot where he would have backed out on me, and he never would have put me in a spot where I would have had a back out on him. We were in that through and through together. But besides this event, other events I've done in the past, you put so much time in the training that I just, you know, I don't want to waste that. You know, you spend so much time away from your family, so much time away from your friends. I mean, some of these events, and you know, people, they don't, you know, I didn't drink beer or anything for a month and a half before the event. You know, some people give up caffeine. Some people make all these small little sacrifices. And at the end of the day, all those sacrifices are why you can't give up, because you've already made them and you're not going to waste them because you have a weak moment. And that's how I always look at it.
That's great. And that's the wife and kids are usually what I use for my why when I'm at events, because, you know, like you said, training for these, it takes a lot of time. I think from one of your previous interviews with Gorek, you said that your longest week was over 30 hours worth of training. And I mean, that's a lot of time you're spending away from your family, away from your kids, you're missing things. And I always tell myself, you know, when things are sucking? Like, what does it say to them that I spent all this time away and then I quit? So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way I would do that to them. I mean, all the time that they miss with me, you just can't do it.
Right. And then focusing back over on you, Mark, if you want to share your why for being out there, the thing that, you know, you pulled at when it was 36, 38 hours in and sucking.
Yeah. I want to capitalize on Mike's training philosophy is that, you know, I always tell people the best part about an event is the training, because it's like watching a Rocky movie, right? But being in it. So you know he's going to fight and win at the end, right? So you don't really watch it for the fight. You watch for the montage, the training montage, right? That's where the movie makes its money. And when I'm training and I'm out there and it's raining, it's cold or whatever, and, you know, little kids are running around me and I'm dragging the sandbag or flipping the tire and they're looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, that's the montage. And the music's playing and I'm having fun. And I cannot tell you how much I've enjoyed this training. Like, ever since this journey started, I have had so much fun that I haven't had in a long time for training for this event. And, you know, I've been driving on the road, going to Colorado the last 3 days, and I've taken time off just packing up and everything. But I am just antsy to get back at it. It's going to be insane. But besides that, you know, I talked to Jason after the event, and we're talking about why. And, you know, I told him the big picture, and it's kind of always been, you know, a dedication of a bunch of buddies. But he kind of scaled that back. You know, it goes back with the universe and putting energy into different, you know, numerous areas. Well, you got to hone in on one specific, you know, maybe two. More, the more energy you can put into one specific why, the more empowering it makes you. So, and, you know, Mike knows this, and they asked us out there, and ever since I asked him, my why has always been Mike, because the same thing you're talking about is not giving up on him. And, you know, yeah, I'm faster, but that means nothing in this event. It's about being strong. So I took my weakness of strength and really worked on it. So I wasn't, you know, I'm still weaker than Mike, but it was empowering to throw a 120-pound sandbag with your 55-pound ruck and then carry another 40 in front, you know, for the first event. It just kind of set the bar of, all right, my training is good. My training is good and my why is set, and I'm moving forward and we're going to get this done. You know, like right from the start with that sandbag workout that we did, I think we both just knew, like, it's going to go well.
That's always a good feeling when you show up to something, especially like this, where it's a lot of unknowns. I mean, there's some assumptions you can make based on the location of the event and the fact that Gorok sells sandbags and backpacks. But showing up, getting into that first event and getting that feeling, because when you do these kind of events, I mean, it's really showing off all of your training. All of your training should be, I mean, the events are really hard, but it's really just showing off all the hard work you put in. So that good feeling, I mean, that must have felt amazing.
Yeah. You know, being, I guess I would say I was the smallest guy out there. So yeah, it was good to know that the strength was there.
So now that you've finished team assessment and you've gone through, you know, all the stages, all the gates, Mark, this one's for you first. Is there anything that you would have done differently in your training? Anything where you got out there and you thought, oh man, you know, if only I had done this instead, this part would have been a little bit easier, or I wish I had focused a little bit more on something else.
Yep, and we knew it right away. For me, and it goes back to, you know, the OCR, like I had incredible grip strength during, you know, training specifically for us. And I think it went along with my hatred and disappointment in the companies that I was competing for and paying money into to do their events, that I kind of lost focus on a lot of the grip stuff and focused more on sandbag weight. So going, you know, moving forward, like, grip is definitely going to be intensified, along with certain animal movements. That will definitely be an issue moving forward.
And then the same question to you, Mike, is there something that you had, you know, after completing the event that you wish you had done slightly differently or completely differently, even with your training, to prepare for the event?
I would have done more grip strength work. I wish I would have did more heavy carries. I did a lot of, like lighter carries and like deadlift type stuff. And I thought that was going to be good enough, but, we carried a lot of weight for a lot of miles on our hands. So I wish I would have did a little more grip strength work.
Yeah. And that's something that I definitely don't focus on a lot. And I've actually noticed it quite a bit with all of the, you know, the carries that we've had to do for the GORUCK monthly challenges. I was like, oh, I should probably focus on some grip strength, because you don't really notice it until the events.
Yeah, one of the things that made it a little challenging was we weren't just carrying like our rucks or sandbags. We were carrying those pipes, and it was a very awkward size. It wasn't like anything I'd carried before. So the grip on just carrying the pipe was a little difficult. So I would have varied my grip strength training too.
Yeah, the apparatus.
Yeah.
That special thing that they had you construct.
The special thing wasn't that bad. It was more the litter carries during the middle of the night that was a little more challenging. We were limited by how far we could. I mean, we were more limited by our grip strength on that event, I think.
Got it. It was interesting watching the apparatus at team assessment. And then, what was it, 1 week later at the Rogue Invitational, they had a similar apparatus, except theirs actually looked like it cost money and wasn't made of spare parts from someone's backyard. So I don't know if either of you caught that, but I was chuckling.
Yeah, I was able to catch part of it. It was cool.
Definitely a little more fun.
Yeah, that was you guys got the budget version, the trial run, if you will. So for me, one of the biggest surprises watching team assessment from home was that there was only six teams that showed up. I'm used to the live feeds just packed with people for selection. And so that was personally a big shock. I'm curious that can be the big surprise for you guys. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is there something at the event that was maybe the biggest surprise for you, or a couple of things that really surprised you during the course of this? And we can start with Mark on this one.
I guess the shock value of the amount of teams that was there, and then, you know, like six teams showed up, you just look at it, cut it in half, there's three that make it, that go through, that go the distance. But, you know, to have two, like, right off the bat, yeah, that was really shocking. And, you know, as Mike said, I think it was, there goes our ground cover. But, you know, it was that, and then the transition after the first day into like more of a mission scenario that was not expected. So those two things combined, interesting.
Yeah, it's really tough out there with two teams, I'd imagine. And I've already talked to Vreeland a bit, and he was saying that it went from the idea that when you do these events, there's going to be first, you know, a team in first place, second, third down the line. It turned into there was a winning team and a losing team, and it was kind of a different animal.
Yeah.
And then I guess moving the question over to you, Mike, was there anything that really shocked you, surprised you at team assessment?
Yeah, I was surprised by how, I guess, nice and motivational the cadre were. I was expecting a little more of a selection feel where you were not encouraged as much, just flat out told the truth that you were kind of sucking in the moment. And after the welcome party time, we really didn't get any of that. And that I found very surprising.
Yeah, it was interesting watching. I almost wondered if, you know, the cadre had money on this or something, because, you know, they were surprisingly motivating. They're like, look, they're not that far away. Like, you can just push harder, you'll catch them. And it was definitely surprising to me on that end as well. And then I guess just a general question, did they tell you in advance how many people were registered for this event?
They had listed on the Facebook page that there was 43 people.
Okay.
And there was a lot of jokes about it, that like, how do you have 43 people, which is an odd number for a team event. So we knew how many were registered, but
that's a good question. How are you gonna have 43 people? And with only six teams showing up, I mean, if the cadre hadn't been there early, like, I would have thought I was at the wrong start point. That's a small percentage.
Yeah, it but you know, it's what it is. And I'm actually curious, not that it matters, but I'm kind of curious, you know, why people didn't show up or who actually signed up, and you know, what the outcome of this is, you know, us kind of setting the bar for next year. How many teams are now kind of, or how many future teams are kind of relieved as to, oh, okay, you know, this isn't as bad as we thought, it's not a selection, we can get a team and get out there. I'm really curious about next year, how many teams will show up or sign up and show up. I think it's pretty high.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's high too. I think, you know, a lot of the, I know the cadre, and I know Jason said it's team assessment, it's not selection, when they were leading up to the event, but all the telling signs on the website, a lot of the pictures for team assessment looked like selection. If you hovered over on their menu bar, team assessment was embedded under selection. And so they weren't doing much to differentiate the events in terms of what you might expect. Because honestly, going in, I think a little bit of what you expected, Mike, was, you know, cadre yelling, the whole selection vibe and attitude, except set gates. So I think after all the live coverage, I think you're right, Mark. I think that there's going to be a lot more teams there next year. At least I hope there are.
I hope so too. It's a great gateway. You know, it's not selection at all, but I think it's a great gateway and like medium point for anybody thinking about it, because, you know, you have the time, you have the distance, you have the weight, you know, so it's kind of the step towards that without getting into it 100%.
Right. And if you're setting your why as your teammate, I mean, you've got them right there looking you in the eyes. If you quit, then this person right next to you can't go on. And that's, you know, a lot more difficult than not having that, you know, that same direct impact with your why on quitting.
Right.
So I just gotta say, I think the way that you guys did it with each other, I think that's probably the perfect way of doing it. So going throughout the event, I mean, it was a heavy, heavy event. And it sounds like both of you trained for a heavy style event. Was there any workouts, any, I guess, evolutions of it, any gates where you guys got to, they said, this is what you'll be doing. And you just thought, yes, this is what we trained for. And this is going to be fun. Starting with you, Mark.
I mean, I think it was fun because there's challenge and creativity that was allowed. You know, like, if it was a challenge, you know, it's like when you tell someone to do 100 reps or something, that number is astronomical to a lot of people. But if you're like, well, if you just break it down into like 10 sets of 10 or, you know, something smaller, they're like, oh, yeah, that's doable. So every event was like, you know, that initial shock value, but not something we didn't train for. So it's like, this is doable, but this is how we're going to do it. And it was like natural. Sometimes we didn't even talk about how we're going to do it. It just happened, whether it was like 20 steps or, you know, we alternate here, we go to that tree. But like, again, for me, I think everybody can agree when you get past the mandatory PT standards, it's just a big relief off your chest. It's like, okay, the rest is on me. You know what I mean? So it's always PT stuff. Just get that out of the way. The rest, you just go.
Yeah. And I'd imagine that there's a lot of nerves at the PT test. You know, it's not like doing the push-ups, the sit-ups in your garage and then going for a run around your neighborhood. And then, you know, a rock on a 12-mile course that you've done every week leading up to the event. I think there's a lot going on during that PT test that probably makes you pretty excited to be done with it.
Yeah, and that grass is so high. You go down for a push-up and you get like a mouthful of grass and it would hit you in the eyes. I was just closing my eyes doing push-ups and there were, you know, I would get no reps. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm banging my chest off the ground. And it just goes to show, like, we were knocking out, you know, like, our we pretty much had it. We're knocking out push-ups and sit-ups in our minute, like, the standards in our minute when we were training individually. So we knew that we had a minute of play time. So that's how we went about it. For anybody that's still out there failing push-ups and sit-ups, like, that's how we did it. So, because know, you have the whole ruck, you got pack, unpack, and that's a lot of nerves and, you know, like fast twitch muscles that are activating. And, you know, it's stupid, but you feel a little sore after doing that. So get that done. Go sit, rest, and think about the next evolution, because that impacts, you know, your standards for the PT.
It's probably a solid way to train, right? Just pretend you have a minute to do it instead of two. Try and get the numbers in.
Pretty much. Like, I'd say a minute, you know, minute 15, we're basically there.
That's solid. And then kicking over to you, Mike, same question that was just posed to Mark. Was there anything that was like, yes? I mean, it sounds like that sandbags at the beginning were definitely, you know, this is what we trained for a moment, but was there anything else throughout it where you're like, this is it?
You know, there really wasn't. I mean, I tried to, when I do an event like that, I just try to stay real even keel and just real accepting. You know, whatever they say to do, it's their 48 hours. That's how I look at it. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what I want to do. I'm just, every evolution, I'm like, yes, we got another one. We just chopped off another hour. How they feel it, I really don't care at that point. I just want to feel it and get it done with.
And that's probably a really good way to look at it too, because at that point, right, if you show up, you know, they say, this is what you're doing. You're like, yes, this is what I trained for. I mean, they could easily just flip the script right away. Like, you know, you're going to be carting these sandbags over here. You're like, yes, I trained a lot for sandbags. Like, oh, and you're going to be doing it, you know, as a crab walk or as a bear crawl. Like, ah, like it just, you know, takes the wind out of your sails. So to be focusing on just completing the evolutions, no matter what they are, I can see that as a solid mental trick for a longer event like this.
Nice and steady. That's how I like to do it.
That's awesome. Do you have any other mental tricks? I mean, you've done a substantial number of longer endurance events. It sounds like that's, you know, your bread and butter, so to speak. Anything else that you do to, you know, stay present, stay in it, and succeed?
I just accept the fact that it's gonna be a roller coaster at times. I mean, you're gonna have emotional highs and emotional lows. You're gonna have physical highs and physical lows. You just have to embrace them. I mean, you're gonna, you know, if you rate how you're feeling, how they always tell you, you know, how are you feeling, 1 to 10, you know, you're gonna have your moments where you're a 7. You're gonna have your moments where you're a 2. Don't fret them. Don't get overexcited when you feel good, and don't be too hard on yourself when you feel bad. You just have to accept it. You know, you're going to complete this event. You put the work in and just keep plodding forward, and just never let how you feel actually dictate anything other than like, ow, that hurts. Just put it out of your mind and keep moving forward.
That is solid advice, because I mean, when you get excited, if you let that get to you too much, I mean, it gives you that bigger high, and you know, it's just a longer drop into the low, and it'll make it feel that much worse. So I think staying even, that's phenomenal advice. Thank you. And then back to you, Mark. Do you have any tricks, any tips? You've done the longer events too. I mean, it sounds like you've done, would you say, World's Toughest leading up to this? I mean, you've got a huge experience with those kind of events where it's just, you got to grind it out. Anything that you do to help you with that?
Well, again, you know, this event, there's your partner that's right in front of you. So I know at a point where I was in pain carrying that freaking PVC pipe, I had Mike in front of me, and I just knew, like, I had to carry this in because he's in front of me leading the way. So that was the most painful experience I had in the event. So it was easy because, you know, he was there, and I was looking at him. I wasn't just looking into blank space ahead of me. My partner was in front of me when I was in pain, doing the same thing. So it's just a constant reminder. You know, but with solo events moving forward, and that's still, you know, there's all kinds of little battles you have, and things that come up, and feelings of not being good enough for the world, and then, you know, it trickles and spider webs into all these other personal issues that you have going on in your life. And I've learned that just needs to be shut down, especially through this experience, because knowing as soon as I got home, I had to pack and, you know, set up for this big move and transfer units and meet all these people and X, Y, and Z and blah, blah, blah. But none of that mattered. None of it. I was completely focused on the task at hand, which is team assessment and finishing that. And as soon as I was done, it was a relief. complete, because then I explored all those other options. But you just have to focus 100% on what you want and not what's going to happen after, or, you know, get sidelined, basically. Then you just have to stay forward towards that path at hand.
Great advice. Because there's nothing you can do about that when you're out there in the event. So, you know, thinking about it isn't helping anyone. It's, if anything, it's probably hurting you.
Absolutely. And I would be the first to say it's hurt me in the past. You know, I've gone into some events where I've had a lot of personal baggage, and, you know, it was just, you can always say it's bad timing, or it's never going to be good timing, right? There's always something going on in somebody's life. But if you could funnel in and hone in on what's the most important thing to you, and if it's not that event, then you shouldn't do that event. If you're injured and you're going to focus on an injury, you should not do that event. If you're going through a divorce, or, you know, all these other things that are going to affect your event, you should not do the event. And I'd be the first to say that there was failure in the past. But, you know, in this event, stars aligned, and I was focused and driven and felt really good. And that's just the mindset you need.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad that the stars aligned and everything was perfect going in, and it sure seemed like it, because your team crushed it out there. So you alluded to this a little bit in what we were just talking about, but I'm curious for both of you. We're going to start with Mark. The absolute worst, I mean, we're past the event, right? So if you say what the worst thing in the event was, the cadre can't pop out of a bush and make you do it again. So what was the worst part of the event for you?
That freaking DVC fight. That was horrible. That hurt my arm so badly. I thought it was going to be like ripped off by the end of that. I don't know how it was, how I was holding it or what, but, and it was funny because Mike's shoulder was my worst shoulder and vice versa. So whenever we switched, we were both in pain, you know, in the same area, but just different sides. So he was always antsy to get it off his shoulder, and I was always antsy to get off mine, because we had cross shoulders. But and there's just that mental, where the hell are we going? How many loops are we doing? We didn't know. That was just unknown pain, and that was the worst part of it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys did over 30 laps. I mean, you did a lot of laps around that that field, so it wasn't like, oh, I wonder what we're going to see next mile. I mean, you know exactly what you're going to see next mile. It's going to be the same thing you saw last mile. That's got to play some mind games.
Actually, like, I love loops, anything. Like, I've done 24-hour races with, you know, 1 mile loops, 1.7 mile loops, and I love that, because then you become so familiar with the course that you start naming things. You have stop points. You have, you know, it's just, you become one with the event, essentially. And I like doing that, but it was the unknown of how many loops we're going to do, having that, because we couldn't drop it, so that PVC fight needs to stay there. And all we could do to alleviate the pain was switch shoulders, and that was it, you know. And that took a toll, and I think one more loop of that would have really hurt us pretty badly, at least me. So I was glad we did what we did, and really pushed through a part of that race that I, you know, it started to trickle in a little bit, like, hey, you know, what if I have to drop this if my shoulder's like really messed up right now? So, but it didn't get to that point.
I'm glad it didn't.
So is Mike, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And same question at you, Mike, the absolute worst part of the event.
I would agree with Mark that missile carry was horrible. The other part of the event that I really didn't like was when we were doing the 12 miles of hell, or whatever they were calling it, the mile where we had to have our rucks overhead or we couldn't move forward. That was a bit of a pain.
That's a tough one. Because that was the event, that was the mile where, like you said, you have to have your ruck extended overhead to make any forward progress at all, right?
Yeah, if you didn't have your elbows locked out, I mean, you were walking with a cadre. So if you didn't have your elbows locked out, you couldn't move forward. So we were getting, I think we started out at maybe 20 paces, and by the end we were getting 10 paces, and we have to drop it and take a break. And then 10 paces, and we have to drop it and take a break. It was just, it got a little monotonous. You're like, I can see it right there, but we can't get there.
That's tough. That's tough. I know, I mean, a lot of people have done, who are listening, have done GORK events, and the cadre sometimes do, you know, everyone has to extend lock overhead for a minute. You have to hold it and then you can move on. But I mean, rucking a mile with that overhead is a completely different ballgame. So team assessment, it's a very different beast we've come to learn from selection. And I know there's only been one person in the, you know, history of selection who's come back and done another one. And that was someone who took part in the beta there. Starting with Mark, do you have any interest in doing team assessment again? Or is this more something where, you know, it came through, it's brand new, it's exciting, you had the goal to go out there and win it, and you did, and now it's kind of looking into the future for the next thing?
Well, you know, I joked around about it right after saying we got to defend our title next year. But I think, you know, moving past that, you look, I don't know, maybe 5 years down the road, get some other teams to earn that. And then maybe it's like a battle royale and all the teams come together as a reunion. And it's like, you know, let's really see who the best is. Maybe after like 5 or 10 years or something. Or maybe I'm just too old by then. I think we'll be 50. It's crazy. But yeah, I don't know, maybe down the road, but you kind of look at some of these long events because there's so many out there. This is very unique and special, but there's a lot of events out there. You know, it's just like, once you do it, do you go back? I mean, how many people are really going to do selection again? You know, this doesn't compare, but it's one of those things, but who knows?
Right. And when it's an event that you have to dedicate 5-6 months of your life training to, I mean, that's a lot of time dedicated to this, you know, particular muscle group, muscle set that you need for this event. And, you know, like you said, there's so many other long distance, long time frame events out there that look like a ton of fun, especially if this is something that you consider fun, that it'd be tough to dedicate another whole season to the event again without something changing, like you said, like a championship of champions team assessment.
Right. We'll both be a Masters by then too. So maybe it's a different division.
There we go. By then we'll have the you know, the Masters division.
Yeah, we can do that.
That's awesome. And then, you know, same question over to you, Mike. I mean, it sounds like these events or things, you know, based on your interview with Jason at the end of the event, that's, you know, you get an itch to do one of these longer, these big events. Since you've completed team assessment and you came in, you know, first place overall, do you have an itch to do it again? Or do you think it's going to be a different event next time?
Like right now, I imagine it being a different event, but I'm real interested to see how this event evolves. I mean, we just did the beta class. And next year it's going to be a little bit different and a little bit better. And 2 years from now it's going to be a little bit better. And 3 years from now it's going to be a little bit better. I really don't see myself doing it again in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. But it may progress into something that just piques my interest again.
That's a good way of looking at it. I mean, looking back at the GORK Tough events, the other events that GORK has put on, I mean, the ones that they're running back in 2011, 2012 are way different than the ones they're running these days. And you don't really see that so much with road races, with 5Ks, with, you know, half marathons, with 50 milers. I mean, it's still a marathon that you're running. A lot of the courses don't change even year over year. But I mean, the way that GORK evolves their events, I could easily see team assessment looking a bit different in 5 years, give or take, than what we saw during the beta.
Oh, definitely. And especially if they start posting it down in Jacksonville or someplace else, it could be a completely different event in the sand and the mountains. I mean, there's a lot they could do with this event that would make it completely different than this year. So yeah, it could definitely pique my interest again at some point.
That's good to know. But until then, it sounds like that, I mean, there's a lot of other events out there that people can get after. So, I mean, it sounds like you won most of the events. Did you find, I will start with, you know, with Mark on this one, did you find that winning the events giving you the break, was that, you know, really beneficial to pushing forward and winning the next event? Or did you find that, you know, sometimes that wasn't all it was cracked up to be?
No, you know, honestly, the pace that we were setting, and we were sticking to it. We weren't like sprinting at any point to try to beat the other team and say we won the bet. I think we just went at our pace that we initially set out to do, and whatever happened, happened. You know, there's times where the other team came sprinting by us to finish an event. We're like, okay, you guys can take this one. We'll do a penalty, not a big deal. And we just accepted it, you know. And other times they were just better than us because they're strong, you know, they're a strong team. And we're just like, okay, you guys are going to beat us because you're freaking savages and strong. So we'll chalk this one up. And, you know, we accepted our losses without killing ourselves to try to keep up or win it. You know what I mean? So we stuck to our pace, and that was it.
I think that's a great strategy, too, because, I mean, it can get so easy to get caught up in chasing down the team in front of you, especially if it's something that they're, you know, really strong at and it's one of your weaknesses, and you can end up burning yourself out trying to get the win, and it can put you in a, you know, at a bigger disadvantage than if you had just gutted it out at the pace that you were comfortable in and doing it at. So that takes a lot of drive and commitment as an athlete to recognize that. So awesome job.
Yeah, I think we had to, like, but you know, like when they have more teams show up and they really make it something competitive, it's going to be carnage out there with teams trying to win each event. It's going to be it'll be incredible to watch next year. I really hope everybody listening shows up and just battle royale the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see how, I mean, it would just be really, really fun to watch because it's, like you said, it's going to be teams out there gutting it, trying to get that win, because even if they do something where like the first three teams, you know, get a break and the rest have to, you know, pay the penalties, you're going to just see people out there just fighting for those wins. So one thing that I found interesting about team assessment, and I guess rereading the description, it makes sense. It wasn't like a points thing. This wasn't a basketball game or a football game or something where, you know, your team won and won and won and racked up all these points. And then at the end of the event, they compare the points and say, oh, you know, team five's the winner. It was, you know, your wins were your breaks. And then at the end, I mean, it seemed like it could have been anyone's game based on, you know, the way they're describing it, right? Where you're kind of on uneven footing, and that final scenario, you know, group of scenarios, the first team backs the winner. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that, if you like that idea, or if you kind of wish it was points based or something different like that, where you can kind of get a lead going in and have it compared at the end. So we can start that one with Mark.
I was going to push it to Mike because he actually had asked that question during the event. But I can go first. That was the whole, it was one of the million scenarios we thought about before the event, is how the hell are they going to grade this? And, you know, when you hear assessment, it's, okay, from the beginning to the end, and we're getting points. How are we getting our points? So we, you know, in theory, we're like, all right, after the PC test stuff gets by, like, points will start to accumulate somehow behind the scenes throughout everything we do. Well, you know, it came down to, hey, there's a fear of the other team sandbagging and like saving everything to the end when it really matters, because they told us about that. They're like, well, you know, kind of, you're just earning rest points right now and not real points. And so through your head, you're like, the other team's probably got this figured out and they're going to sprint at the end. But so that part of it messes with you. I guess moving forward, I would like more of individual accumulated point scenarios. I think that's a little more fair because I get to see teams sandbagging and losing the entire thing, doing their penalties, and then crushing the last culminated event and winning the whole thing, which I think would be an uproar if it's a live feed and people are like, well, that was obviously what they did, you know?
Right. You know, the team that gets last place every single time and then comes through and just kills it at the end. I mean, this isn't a Hollywood movie. So yeah, I can see how that could turn into an issue. And that was something I was wondering too, if it was, you know, real points or fake points like Schrute Bucks or Goruklandia dollars. But yeah, so kicking over to Mike, and so I've got two for you on this one because I, you know, just realized that I didn't skip over to you on the last one, which was with the rest breaks and in winning the events. So we'll start there real quick. Did you find that the rest from winning was a good enough payoff for winning, or did you find that sometimes that could end up biting you a bit? Like, what's your thoughts on that one?
There was a couple of rest times where I thought it actually like may have hindered us a little bit. Some of those evolutions, they kept real short. So like, no matter who won, you were only going to get like an extra minute or an extra 2 minutes. And when you're cold and wet, and you're sitting on the grass, like 2 minutes wasn't a reward because you didn't have time to do anything. You just had time to get cold and get stiff. So it wasn't always a reward. I mean, the rest is always nice. It's always appreciated. But there were certain points where I'm like, man, like a 10-minute rest would have been great. But this 3 minutes, I just stiffened up, sitting on the ground. For the overall flow of the event, though, you know, as we got further and further into the event and the events got longer, you know, for a 3 mile ruck or a 5 mile ruck. And then when you finish, you got a 15 or a 20-minute rest or maybe even a 30-minute rest while you're waiting for the other team. Those certainly added up. Those were beneficial.
Yeah, it's tough, right? I mean, I know you both have done a single tough event, or I guess it's probably called the Gorak Challenge back then. But one of the things that I see at a lot of them is there'll be a time, maybe 6 or 7 hours in, where the cadre will, you know, huddle everyone around and talk for a bit, you know, tell a story or two, and it's fun. But one of their goals is, you know, people get to check their feet, but they also get stiff. And I've noticed every single time that if you're not standing, sitting, you know, doing a couple squats, that you get stiff in those little breaks. So I wasn't too sure if that would swing one way or the other, if you guys would stiffen up from them, or if it was it truly was a treat. And then jumping right into the next question, Mike, the whole points versus no points, the fake dollars that you don't win, it's all rest money going into it. It sounds like you guys talked a bit on what you would do based on the different point scenarios, if they are points or no points. What are your thoughts behind all of that?
I think it's kind of, it's a complicated question because if you were to score the event and you were to award points based on where you finished, you'd like to see it weighted equally, you know, throughout the event. And if they actually did have gateways where there was enough teams where they did cut teams, I don't know how they would keep the scoring fair. Like, you finished fifth place at an early event, so you got 5 points, and then you won 2 later events, but the, you know, there was no teams between you and the team that eventually won. So, I mean, the scoring system would be very difficult to understand. The second part of it is, I guess it's good Facebook Live when it's, you know, when it's a race. That's why there's playoffs in football. That's why there's, you know, that kind of stuff. That's why there's championship games. I think it would be more fair if they had a scoring system. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's one Super Bowl being played in the NFL, and it doesn't matter what your records are before that. You only got to win that one game. So, I mean, I could see the argument on both sides. I personally would prefer if they kept score for the whole event. I think that would get, you know, a stronger effort out of all the teams the whole way. But the way it is, I can't argue with it. I mean, they were fair about it. And they told us about it, you know, towards the beginning of the event, how it was going to be. So I don't have any qualms with the way they ran it.
I think Jason would argue that they were very fair.
Very fair.
Yeah, it's a tough one too, right? Because I mean, you guys won a ton of the events, and so at some point it probably would have gotten to like the other team couldn't be the champion. As long as you guys finish, you're the champions. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of mind games that would play on other teams. One thing that I thought was interesting with your final interview kind of with Jason, when the other team was still out there, trying to finish, when you guys were sat down in Jason's garage, talking with him, was he said something like that you don't know what the culminating event was. You don't know the length, the amount of time, that it could be like a 50 meter dash. And that made me laugh because I can just imagine, you know, you go through all this 48 hour events and then they just line the four of you up and say, all right, first team to cross this line 50 meters away, like you're the team assessment champions.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I was, when that came out of my mouth, I was like, that, or out of his mouth, I laughed because I can just imagine the ridiculousness of it. But it also made me go the other way with, you know, what is the proper, like, what is big enough for a culminating, you know, exercise? Like, clearly a 50 meter dash, like to the patches, right? They're sitting 50 meters away and the first team to get there gets the ones they want. Like, that's probably not enough for the end of team assessment. But what was your thoughts on the culminating exercise for team assessment? Was it enough? Was it too much? You know, where does it fall in with what you were thinking? And we can start with you on Mark.
I think we understood what was building up. We didn't predict the scenario. So when we were, you know, doing the pipes and setting them in, it was obvious. So yeah, I think go back and get those. We're building our apparatus. Yep, we're going to use this, you know, et cetera, for everything. So we knew that was a build up. We knew that was going to be, you know, utilized later and probably, you know, culminate next month. But we didn't, I don't think we predicted the actual, like, op order and, you know, the entire operation and mission that they put us on to put it all together. And I think that was cool. I liked how they did that. It really put in perspective, you know, a typical military personnel day-to-day, how you deliver this, how you operate, and how you conduct a mission. I mean, it was train. You know, the time they allotted was dedicated to rehearsals. And, you know, if you're in the military, you know, all right, this is what we train for. This is the mission. This is your rehearsal time. You go over it again and again and again. So it's muscle memory. And then you conduct your mission. Well, we didn't do rehearsals, but we did discuss what we were going to do. So in hindsight, I guess that was it. But I think we went through it so fast. At the end of the day, I would say I think we expected a little bit more. But I think it's hard to predict because there was only so much time left in the 48 hours. So we knew there was only a few hours that we were going to be out there. It wasn't unknown. So that made it a little bit easier.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably would have been a little disappointed if it had been a 50 meter dash to the patches.
Yeah.
I'd have been curious.
I think I would have jumped off a bridge, like going through all that, like losing in a 50 meter dash. That would suck.
Yeah. Kicking over to you, Mike, your thoughts on that final, you know, culminating experience with team assessment. Was it what you expected? Was it more? Was it less? You know, where does it rank on what you were thinking was going to happen?
I thought it was appropriate. I actually thought, like in my mind before the event started, I thought there was going to be much more PT and a lot less scenario. I wasn't disappointed. I was kind of, I mean, it's crazy. Like once you get over kind of the silliness of it, it's a crap ton of work carrying that stuff around and building that stuff. And you realize that as you're doing it, you know, the rolling in the mud is the rolling in the mud. I mean, that was just whatever it was. But I thought it was appropriate. I thought the length of time that, they dedicated to it was appropriate for the length of the event. I didn't think it was too short. I didn't think it was too long. It was, you know, right in the middle. You know, like I said, the props that they had and, they actually had their neighbor come out in full Afghan gear. I mean, that was pretty cool. Overall, yeah, I was real happy with the culminating event.
That's awesome. And you jumped in on the last one, but it sounds like you'd have been pretty upset too if it had been a 50 meter dash.
Oh yeah, yeah. Even if it was only like a half hour evolution, I don't think that would have been appropriate. I think for a 48 hour event, you need something at least, you know, a culminating movement that's at least longer than all the other movements that you've had. So I mean, the longest movement we had was probably, you know, 3 or 4 hours. So I thought that was appropriate to have a culminating movement that took 3 or 4 hours.
Absolutely. Especially when they're judging it the way they are, right? Where it's not like you've earned a bunch of points in your bank up until this point. It's where this is the, you know, this is for it all.
Yeah. But at that point, I mean, there was no like, well, you won 3/4 of the event, so you only have to take 1/4 of the sandbags and the other team has to take 3/4. You were starting with a fresh slate. So, you know, as far as I was concerned, the longer they made that, the better it was for us.
It's a good way of looking at it. So Now that you've completed team assessment, we can start with Mike on this one since we're already over here, but do you have another event lined up? I mean, it sounds like these longer events are right in your wheelhouse, but it also sounds like, you know, you've got a wife and you've got a family that you like taking some time off from these to enjoy with them, because it's a huge commitment training for them. So do you have your eyes set on another event in the future, or are you just kind of keeping your email inbox open waiting for Mark to send you another email?
My inbox is open. I usually do like one, I think of them as like my A races a year. I'll pick one event a year and I'll dedicate, you know, 6 or 8 months of building and training for that. And then, I mean, I'll do other events the rest of the year, but I won't be as focused, as driven. If my son has a baseball game, I won't be up till, you know, 11 o'clock at the gym that night. So I don't have anything scheduled for the rest of this calendar year that's anywhere near significant.
And then kicking over to you, Mark, do you have anything on your calendar that you're training up for now that this is done? Anything that you're getting excited about?
I just had 4 goals in the beginning of the year. Next one is selection. So that'll be my third thing. But in a couple of days, I'm doing this 30K, 25-pound ruck run. So it's all complimentary to the big goals. But, you know, that's coming up in a couple of days. But besides that, you know, selection is the next big thing.
That's exciting. I hope you do really well out there on your 30K ruck run. I mean, you shared your marathon time. Was it 3:48? Something absolutely insane like that with a 45-pound plate. So good luck out there on the 30K.
Yeah. It's a good event. It's you have to carry canned goods. So it's all donated to Vets, so it'll be a good event.
And if you don't mind, do you want to share the name of the event? I can throw it in the show notes and maybe promote them a little bit. It sounds like a great event.
Colorado, it's the Norwegian Trail Ruck Run. So I guess they do it all over the place. Being in the Army, you can, you know, it's one of those things you can earn as like, you know, points to your military resume. And you get a badge at the end. So it's, on the 25th. Oh yeah, I got a couple days.
Yeah, that's coming up quick. And those are those are points that actually matter, not the Gorklandia fake points that don't count towards anything except for rest.
Right, yeah. Those count. No, those definitely.
I mean, going over my notes, I think we've talked just a ton about this event, you guys training up for it, you know, advice and tips there. The entire event, what you guys enjoyed about it. I'll start with you, Mark. Is there anything that I might have been missing? Is there anything about the event that you want to talk about that we didn't talk about? Or are there any, you know, shout outs, any things that you want to give to anyone who helped you get here?
Well, first, you know, I've only done, you know, one challenge and one light, and both of those were by invite. So I really want to kind of like direct this to that community. And that's why we wanted to do our gear list of, you know, that a video of what we had during the event and talk about it. Cause we just really want to give back. We couldn't really, you know, do the entire live feed and see all the comments that were going by and thank every person that was out there supporting us and cheering for Team 5. So that was our kind of a little give back to them. And I won't open the door for Mike or speak on his behalf, but definitely anybody that was supporting us or not supporting us either way and has advice or, you know, suggestions or wants advice or suggestions, just please feel free to reach out and I'll do my best to get back to you because I really want to get back into that community. I've been away from it and, it was nice to see there was so much support. And then, you know, it's just, there's a couple developing, sponsors like the Combat Ready Tape. We had a conversation with them recently and, you know, we told them about how their tape was amazing throughout the event and really helped out. So they're going to be helping us in the future. And, you know, Honey Badger has always been there with me, and Carbo Pro. So just, you know, those companies have really just have been there, even though I'm limited on social media and probably don't promote them the way I should. So it's definitely a shout out to them and everybody else listening.
Awesome. And I'll give them links in the show notes. So you'll help them out there.
Yeah, thank you.
And you mentioned that have you already shot the video on the gear you brought, or is that something you're planning on doing?
Oh, no, we did that the day after. Literally, we didn't take anything out of our rucks. We took the rucks out of the car and opened it up and just showed everybody what was in it. That was on the Tough page, I think we posted. We did that live. And, you know, mind you, we're not experts with that. And that was both our first time doing a live feed. So just bear with it. That's not professional grade. It's just what it is.
Well, I've never done a live feed, so I'm guessing it's better than anything I would have put out. So I'll link to that as well. So for anyone listening that's already a member of the Tough group, you can check that out. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And then kicking over to you, Mike, you know, same question. Is there anything that we didn't talk about this event that you wanted to talk about that I might have missed? Or is that, I guess, and, or, so you can do both. You don't have to choose. Or is there any, you know, shout outs, any thanks you want to give to people who, or companies that, you know, help support you, get you here?
I guess one piece of advice that wasn't mentioned was if you are interested in doing selection, I think next year it's going to be back in the same place that Team Assessment was this year. So if you want to get a lay of the land, that might not be a bad opportunity to do so. But no, other than that, I'd like to thank my family and Jason Gussick, who owns the gym I go to. It's a Westside Barbell gym. You know, they're very supportive of me, and, you know, help me do what I need to do.
That's perfect. Well, thank you both so much for taking, all this time out of your day. I know one of you is traveling pretty much across the country. And so this isn't easy, but I really appreciate you guys taking the time to both be on the call with me to talk about Team Assessment and, you know, how you guys got here and where you're going from it. So I really appreciate you two taking the time to do this.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, no, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. This has been episode number 103. I had a ton of fun talking with Mark and Mike, a lot of really good information, and I really hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you want to get links to anything we talked about during the show, you can head on over to the show notes at alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-103. Otherwise, you can check out the show notes if you're listening to this in a podcast app. Mark and Mike did an incredible job out there at Team Assessment. It was a lot of fun to watch them on the live coverage. That live coverage is still up, so if you missed any of it, you can always go and check it out. Links to it in the show notes. And it was just truly fun to watch. If you want to support the All Day Rock Off podcast, there's a couple ways you can do that. You can always leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. Just search for All Day Rock Off. That is an awesome zero cost way to support the podcast. I read all those reviews and they're truly, truly appreciated. The other option is to always buy something in the All Day Rock Off online store. You can visit that over at alldayruckoff.com/store. And the other newer option is you can support it on Patreon. That's at patreon.com/alldayruckoff, or there's a link in the show notes, and that will get you access to some additional bonus content as a thank you for supporting that way. Again, thank you so much for all of the incredible support. I really hope you enjoyed this interview with Mike and Mark, and I can't wait to see what Gorak has cooked up for Team Assessment for 2020. As always, don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, rock harder.